title of my message this evening is A Continual Reminder. And I want you, if you will, to take your Bibles and look with me at several passages of Scripture, beginning in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And here we will read verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, if you will, turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and beginning in verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Now, if you will, go to Luke chapter 22. Just read two verses here, Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and said unto and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now, one other place in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning with verse 23. Here we have the words of the Apostle Paul. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We refer to the time between our Lord's baptism and his death as his earthly ministry, his earthly ministry. He has a heavenly ministry, and since he ascended back to the Father, he has exercised that ministry. We have a great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us. During this time, when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find that during his earthly ministry, on three occasions, he spoke to his 12 apostles and told them about his death, that they would go to Jerusalem and he would be betrayed, crucified, and rise again from the grave. And they understood nothing. His 12 apostles, they understood nothing that he told them about his death. In fact, you remember the first time Peter tried to correct the Lord. That's when the Lord told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." Peter couldn't believe that the Jews, the religious leaders, would call for his crucifixion. He couldn't believe that. You know, they had been taught, like most of the Jews at that time, to look for an earthly kingdom, a Messiah who would come and set up an earthly reign. And they were in the dark when it comes to the true reason, purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." His purpose to save those people, his sheep, who were given unto him. We fell in our head, Adam, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know that by the work of God the Holy Spirit, he continues to seek and to find, and he will find each and every one of his lost sheep. No question about it. But this night, these texts that we've read about, before this night, our Lord had spoken of his death as a ransom, and he had also spoken of his death as meat, or his flesh, crucified flesh, as meat indeed. But now we see on the eve of his death, of his crucifixion, he instituted this memorial service. And we see in the Apostle Paul's record here in 1 Corinthians 11 that it is to be observed until the Lord comes. And I see two things there that especially encourage me tonight, and I know encourage you. The first is, he's coming again. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." He is coming again. This same Jesus that you have seen go up into heaven, the angels told his disciples on the day that he ascended, he will come again. And I believe he comes for all of his children at death. For he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And when a child of God, breathes their last breath here in this world, closes their eyes in death, the Lord comes for his children. The angels take the soul. The body remains here, of course, waiting the resurrection. But the person, the soul, goes to be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Far better. But that should encourage us right there. He said, "This do, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now tonight, as we eat this bread and drink from the cup, we are showing forth his death until he comes. And we are assured tonight that he will come, just as he said. And a second thing that encourages us, the Lord will have a church here when he comes again. I know sometimes it seems like his little flock becomes even smaller. And there are few that trust in him and worship him and serve him and love him. But still, there is a remnant according to the election of grace in this world, just as there was in the days of Elijah when he thought he was the only one. Oh, no. Oh, no, Elijah. God said, I've reserved unto me 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's always an election of grace in this world. And will be till he comes, till that last one comes into the fold. Brought to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. He will have a church here. And may the Lord bless our congregation, our church family, and use us in reaching others with the gospel. Amen. Now, he did not leave. Think about this. He didn't leave the teaching and the institution of this memorial service to his apostles to teach. Let me say that again. Before he left, the night before he was crucified, this is a very important matter, isn't it? He didn't leave this to the apostles. He could have. They were inspired. They could have taught this truth about the Lord's table. But the Lord taught this to us, gave this to us. And it shows forth his death, which is the very heart of the gospel. The very heart of the gospel is the death, the sacrifice, the vicarious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing of his death. We preach about his death. We celebrate his death. And we trust in his death. We trust in his one sacrifice which he offered. And by that one sacrifice, put away all the sins of his people. His death is the heart of the gospel. And in heaven, we will all join in singing the same hymn. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and redeemed us unto our God with his blood, or by his blood. Now, there are two parts in the Lord's words that I want us to think about briefly tonight before we partake of this supper. First part, his body was broken, or his body was given. We find both of those words. His body was broken, and his body was given. He broke the bread, and this declares that this bread fittingly represents to us his body, which was broken, and then he gave it to the apostles, and we know that he was given for us. When we think of him broken for us, it reminds us of his awful, awful, awful sufferings, indescribable sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced. That verse in Isaiah chapter 52 tells us that he was more marred than any man. More marred. You know, you see these drawings of the cross and Calvary, and we shouldn't have them to begin with, but the artists try to make it look somewhat beautiful. There was nothing beautiful about that. It was a gory scene. No doubt there was even a nauseous smell in that very place, because it was a place where they crucified people and sometimes didn't even bury the bodies. Called the place of the skull, because the hill looked like a skull, some say, and some say no, because there was skulls from others who had been crucified in that place. There was nothing beautiful about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about physical beauty. His body, naked, exposed, between heaven and earth, as though man would say to God, this is what we think about your son. This is what we think about him. We won't have him. There's nothing beautiful about the scene there at the cross. He was broken. And I mentioned this morning the mercy seat and the cherubim. And I was thinking about the fact that when you forge metal, they put the metal in the in the heat or heat the metal, and then they beat it, don't they? And they make it expand. And that mercy seat there was beaten. That was gold, yes, but it was beaten to where it fit exactly. Exactly the same dimensions as the ark. That broken law, that law that you had broken, I had broken, had to be covered. And those cherubim representing God's people. But the fact is, it was beaten. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his body was broken. It was beaten. And then when we think of him given, he was given for us. This reminds us of God's love for his people. His everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. His love is eternal. And I know when we talk about these attributes of God, we quickly get into deep water, don't we? God loves you tonight. There's never been a time when he has not loved you. Never. There's never been a time when he hasn't loved you, and there will never be a time when he stops loving you. When we think of him being given, he gave the bread to his disciples, reminds us of God's great love. God so loved the world, and his chosen people were part of the world. They are from every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation. He so loved his people that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son of God incarnate, coming into this world, taking into union with his person, his deity, that body that was prepared him, so loved he his people that he gave himself. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I've received this commandment from my Father, both to lay it down and to take it again. He freely, freely, freely gave himself out of his great love for his sheep, for his people. We can't enter into that, really, can we? Can't even imagine that kind of love. That kind of love. He said, this is my body which is given for you. I give myself for you. It's one thing to give your money for a person. Maybe you want to help someone and you've got some money and or some means, and I'll give you what I've got, give you my money. That's great, but to give yourself? To give yourself? And yet that's what he did. He gave himself. This is my body, which is given for you. I give myself for you to be an atonement for you, a covering. That's what that mercy seat did. It covered that law that we had broken, as I said. And that blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat. I give myself to be an atonement for you. I give myself to answer to that type, that Passover lamb. Paul said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. How many lambs must have been slain on that first Passover night when they were slaves in Egypt? How many lambs? And yet, the Scripture always speaks in the singular, doesn't it? The Lamb. The Lamb. And over the years, how many animals, bullocks and goats and sheep, lambs, doves, blood had been offered and shed in sacrifice, and yet not one sin was ever taken away with the blood of an animal. Not possible. The writer of Hebrews tells us that. It was used as a type, as a picture, but it had no power. All the power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we continue in this world, He will be our spiritual food. He will, except you eat my flesh, you have no life in you, He said. Now, He's not talking about this bread when He said that. He's talking about His sacrifice. That's the only way anyone has life, and that sacrifice gives us life, and it maintains us, our spiritual life. Every day we feast on Christ, don't we? Every day we think about Him. And when our conscience troubles us and we are made aware that we've done something and wish we hadn't have done it, you know, but we know that the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled upon the conscience gives us peace, doesn't it? Peace with God. Now notice this, the second part. His blood is that of the new covenant. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, is the basis of the covenant. It was a condition of the covenant, the new covenant. When God made a covenant with the nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and came to Mount Sinai, remember, God made a covenant with them, and it was made with blood. Moses sprinkled the book of the covenant, with blood, and he sprinkled the people with blood. That's the way the covenant was made. But it was the blood of animals. And Moses said at that time, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." That is all the law of Moses. But then he promised a new covenant. Jeremiah, we read about that new covenant that he would make with the house of Israel. And it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the foundation of this new covenant. In Hebrews, also called a better covenant. Three things that I call our attention to in our Lord's words. Number one, His blood was shed for many. I believe He said that in each one of those passages. "This is my blood, which is shed for many." The Lord Jesus used the word "many" when He spoke of His death. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life for many." Now, one thing that cannot be denied, the word "many," it doesn't mean all. It doesn't mean all. Many, maybe a great number, no doubt, a number. John saw that men cannot number. It's a finite number. God knows the number. He knows each and every one. But many is not all. You say, "Preacher, do you delight in preaching and telling people that Christ did not die for everyone?" I delight in preaching the truth about the death of Christ. That it accomplished exactly what God purposed. No doubt about it. And for everyone that He shed His blood, He atoned for their sins, for our sins. There's no question in my mind. I delight in preaching that. That He was not a failure. What He intended, He accomplished. Those He represented, He saved. Just as the first Adam represented all mankind, and we all fell in him, so the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, He represented all of His covenant people, and He redeemed His people. The many. in his prayer in John 17, he defined that word many when he said that he, speaking of himself, should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Speaking to his Father, that he, the Son of God, should give eternal life to as many as thou, the Father, had given him. And the Apostle Peter, I think he explained it very well also, don't you, on the day of Pentecost when he said, preaching, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Number two, his blood not only was shed for the many, his blood was shed for the remission of sins. The word that is translated remission, actually it means deliverance and forgiveness. This deliverance is from the punishment due to us for our sin. One writer said, the Greek term rendered remission points out much better than our English word the immediate effect of the atonement, implying that the sin was canceled and no more found, and that the person upon whom the sentence of acquittal is pronounced is again without guilt or charge because it is put away and therefore annihilated. I like that word, don't you? Annihilated. The sins of his people annihilated by his precious blood. So that when search is made for them, they cannot be found. They're gone. Amen? They're gone. And number three, it is good news. Amen. His blood is the new covenant in the sense that it constitutes the foundational condition, the fundamental condition of the new covenant. On the obedience of Christ shedding his blood for the remission of our sins, we are in a new covenant relationship. And the blessings of that new covenant are ours. They're yours tonight. The blessings of this new covenant, because of the blood of the everlasting covenant, his blood, these blessings are yours. What are they? I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. God does a work of grace in a person's heart, gives him a new nature. A new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, that old nature remains. I understand that. And there's that constant warfare in the heart of a believer. But still, there's a new man. There's a new creation. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. If God tells you he will be your God, you don't need anything else. You couldn't need anything else if God is your God. What could you need? He's everything, has everything, owns everything, controls everything. I will be thy God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. Do you know God? If you do, you know him through Christ. There's no other way to know God except through his Son. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember. May the Lord bless his word to each one of us. I'm so thankful that we have the privilege, don't you? Aren't you thankful tonight, rather, that we have this privilege of coming together as a church family? And those of us who have or who are in union with Christ, then we have communion as we eat this bread and drink this cup. And I would remind us, it's still bread and it's still wine. There's no hocus pocus or anything like that to somehow turn it into the actual flesh and blood of Christ. No. It represents his body that was broken for us. It represents his blood that was poured out for us. I'll ask the man, if you will, to come at this time. And it is the